From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. It's Friday, May 22nd. Today on the podcast, we'll hear from some of the older Vermonters who've been in lockdown during the pandemic.
We cheat a little, to be perfectly honest. Every now and then, we say, screw it, come on over.
First, here are today's headlines.
Vermont recorded 6 new cases of COVID-19 on Thursday, bringing the state's tally to 950 cases. 827 of those people have recovered, and 54 people in Vermont have died with the disease.
And on the reopening front, restaurants are now allowed to offer table service today, just in time for Memorial Day weekend, but it sounds like many of them aren't quite ready to do that. The state is only allowing outdoor dining, and restaurants will have to space tables 10 feet apart. And they're also required to keep their capacity below 50 people and keep a log of all customers in case the health department needs to do any contact tracing.
And leaders of Vermont's hospitals want regulators to completely suspend the process of approving hospital budgets for this year. The money situation for hospitals wasn't looking great before the pandemic, and COVID-19 has wreaked havoc on hospital finances. Jeff Thiemann, the president of the Vermont Association of Hospitals and Health Systems, says the budget process right now is like driving in a rainstorm.
You sort of know where you're going, but it's really blurry and really easy to get off course, and it's much safer to pull over and just wait out the downpour.
The Green Mountain Care Board already agreed to relax some requirements for hospitals to report their finances. But at a meeting this week, the board members seemed unwilling to completely cancel budget hearings.
And later today, the Vermont Air National Guard will deliver their version of a salute to the Vermonters who are on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Guard will fly a formation of 4 F-35s over 16 medical facilities around the state, starting at noon. The trip will take about an hour and a half. It's part of a national tribute from the Air Force to healthcare workers across the country. The sight and loud sound of the planes may be a novelty to many parts of the state, though anyone in the Burlington area is probably very familiar with them at this point. The new F-35s have been flying over the state's largest city regularly for the past few months.
Almost half of the 54 people who've died with the coronavirus were living in long-term care facilities. Because of that, many of the older Vermonters in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and senior apartment complexes are living in strict lockdown. Reporter Nina Keck talked with some of them, and I also talked with Nina about reporting that story. We'll hear that afterwards. Here's Nina.
The Gables in Rutland offers 1 and 2 bedroom apartments with a shared dining room, a fitness center, communal rooms, and walking trails. It's pricey and marketed to seniors as independent living.
However, it's really more than that.
Enid Riemann has lived in the Gables for 3 years.
What is really the case is that it is a community. We do care about each other. We have the privilege of privacy should we choose to stay in our apartments. We have the privilege of mixing with our friends. Do we love everybody? No. Does everybody love us? No. But we do take care of each other.
Which right now is important. Enid is 90. Her husband, Ed, is 95.
I happen to be fortunate. My husband is still with me, so we're a couple together. But most of the residents here are alone. And when you can't intermix, when the dining room is closed, and that's really the convergence of the social life, it's lonely and it's hard.
Victoria Crane moved into the Gables last year. She and her partner Bill Ramage enjoyed the social aspect of the place until the chairs in the common rooms were removed and mixing and mingling stopped.
I find it weird.
At 75, she's younger than a lot of the other residents. She's grateful not having to juggle a job or the needs of young kids right now. But she admits life feels strange and disjointed.
There's this cognitive dissonance about the catastrophe that you see on the television about the economy and the illness and the trucks taking the bodies away from the hospital, and you know, it's a nightmare. And here we are. Someone's bringing us meals, and it's like we live in a bubble. It's like it's not happening to us.
She and Ramage still drive and can leave the complex if they want to, but they rarely do, and no visitors are allowed in. While Crane's asthma and her age make her more vulnerable to the coronavirus, living in a bubble has its benefits, and she feels safe. Enid Riemann, on the other hand, worries constantly.
You're talking to a class A hypochondriac. I have stopped reading the symptoms for the coronavirus because I'll have every single one of them.
Riemann keeps a thermometer handy, so anytime she gets nervous, she takes her temperature. Bob Lloyd, another Gables resident, takes the risk of getting COVID-19 more in stride.
Well, let me begin by saying that when you're living in a community like this, the unstated context here is our mortality. And it's always in the background here.
Lloyd is 86 and widowed, and he believes most people his age have consciously or unconsciously come to terms with dying. The current pandemic, he says, is just another version of that.
Having said that, I know that some people, there are people here I know who worry very much about death and dying. They don't talk about it.
Lloyd describes himself as an introvert and says the enforced solitude of the pandemic has been less difficult for him, and it's given him more time to read, think, and reflect on his life. He's even begun writing a memoir.
One other activity, important activity, is sleeping and napping. And I find that for the memoir that I frequently wake up in a state of semi-consciousness, memories from my life come seeping in. And that's actually been very pleasant.
But Lloyd misses his family, and he knows that's been the most difficult aspect of isolation for many.
And right now, my granddaughter from California is spending 3 weeks in Timoth, and I can't see her. She can't come. And that, you know, that's a loss.
He knows couples at the Gables who've been split up by the pandemic, the wife in one care facility while the husband is in another.
They can't visit each other. One woman's husband went over to the Meadows, and then the virus came and she couldn't come to see him, and he died. She wasn't there.
Lloyd, Victoria Crane, and Enid Riemann all say they try to watch over their neighbors. They shout greetings from their doorways, wave behind masks as they pick up their mail, and now that the weather is nicer, chat from a distance on the front porch.
It is a bummer. We cheat a little, to be perfectly honest. Every now and then, we say, screw it, come on over.
For a few precious minutes, they'll break the rules and savor a bit of normalcy in a very abnormal world. For VPR News, I'm Nina Keck in Rutland.
And so, Henry, I talked to Nina the other day about reporting this story, and she told me that she had the initial idea to do it because of an article I'd sent her. It was something from NPR that mentioned another story she'd done, and I wanted to make sure she saw it. And here's what she and I talked about.
So you had sent me the link from NPR that had cited the fact that the elderly population is in the crosshairs with COVID-19, but we don't hear very much about them or their voices. And I thought about that. And I've tried to reach out to people. There's a retired couple or an older couple that I interviewed where the husband is in a nursing home and she can't see him anymore. And that really broke my heart. So I reached out to a nurse that works in a nursing home who happens to be older herself. She's 74, so she's at high risk, and got her story, which I thought was really interesting. But I also wanted to talk to people like my mom. My mom is 86, and she's in a senior apartment complex. People are kind of locked down there. She's in Milwaukee, so I reached out to people in Rutland and found several to talk to who are all kind of dealing with this whole weird situation a little bit differently.
And talking to all these people at the Gables, what were your interviews with them like?
Well, that was a little tricky because I wanted, you know, as a person that works in radio, you always want good sound quality. I didn't just want to talk to them by phone. And a couple of them had iPhones, and I was able to get them to use their voice memo app and record right into their iPhones for me, which was great. But they were all great. They were all willing to talk to me and kind of to explain what it's like day to day. And it's odd.
Did that make you think about your mom?
Yeah. It did. I feel really bad that I cannot jump on a plane and go see her. And, you know, we talk and that's great. And we FaceTime. But yeah, she's 86. She's in the same boat. My dad's passed away. She's alone. And I think she's doing the best she can, like the folks in the Gables are, but it's lonely. And yeah, it did make me think about my mom.
And Bob Lloyd, who you talked to, he talks a lot about like dying and mortality. What was, like for you, what was that part of the conversation like?
Bob Lloyd, I found really wise. I enjoyed my conversation with him so much. He kind of had a pragmatic view of this whole situation. And I found what he had to say really interesting, that he was not afraid of death per se. He was more curious about it. And this was giving him time to think about it.
Were there any other pieces of wisdom that you took away from talking to these people who have lived through a lot and seen a lot?
I think I appreciated their upbeat attitude. Like a lot of us, they're doing the best they can. They miss their friends. They miss normalcy. But I think most of the folks that I talk to, my mother included, feel very lucky that they've got a house, they have access to food, you know, and that they're safe. Yeah, they're vulnerable, but I think they feel safe, and one day at a time, I guess, is the mantra.
Mm. Well, Nina, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, also, Henry, I know you've probably already signed up for this, but if you haven't, you should know you're running out of time to join one of Audubon Vermont's virtual birding teams. You can pick any 24-hour period from now until Monday. Head out into the great outdoors and keep a log of all the white-breasted nuthatches, tufted titmouses, downy woodpeckers, and other birds you see.
All right. Well, noted. The Eye on the Sky forecast for today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 70s to the low 80s. Thanks for listening to The Frequency. We want to hear from you. If you've got feedback on the show or just want to tell us how you're doing, you can email us at thefrequency@vpr.org.
We had reporting today from Liam Elder Connors, Amy Kolb Noyes, Howard Weiss Tisman, and Nina Keck. Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis.
And just a heads up, we'll be taking a break for the Memorial Day holiday on Monday, so there won't be a new episode in your feed that day. But we'll be back on Tuesday, May 26th. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you on Tuesday.